You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, reporting in from Mompos Bolivar this week, and with very special guests coming later to the studio, Tara Days and Rafael Santamaria, to tell us a little bit about their departure from Colombia. Unfortunately, this is the true reality of making friends abroad and the expat circle, if, of course, you move in this. But people move on, people move back, and it's always a state of flux. So we'll be discussing, basically this Anglo-Colombian relationship, or marriage, in fact, and the challenges, of course, of living in Bogota, Colombia, and of moving off to Houston as well. What are going to be their new adventures ahead of them? So stay tuned to hear about their tale and how it's been here for the last couple of years for them in Colombia. Meanwhile, as we sit here in Mompos, hot and sweaty Mompos, the issues between Venezuela and Colombia continue, unfortunately. So you have a president of Venezuela who's possibly born in Colombia, near to the city of Cúcuta, is expelling Colombians. Well, he's expelled over 1,000 Colombians. He's kicked them out of the country, accusing them of paramilitary links. Now, I don't think there's any doubt that paramilitary groups do use this porous border between Venezuela and Colombia for contraband and so on. But to accuse them directly of, these poor people, these humble people who eke out a living on the Venezuelan side, and who, for the most part, were invited into Venezuela by President Maduro's predecessor, President Chavez, rest in peace, because they were told about the Bolivarian Revolution, and it sounded good to them, and of course, so they came on over. And of course, they pledged their votes in the state of Táchira to Chávez, and of course then on to Maduro. So these were people who were basically given Venezuelan citizenship in order to, load the deck, if that's the best way of putting it. Load the deck. So, and now they're being kicked back out again. So they've been kicked back across. 1,000 plus have left because they've been expelled, and around 10,000, if not more now, have crossed for fear of reprisals and under certain sort of pressure and persecution from the Venezuelan Bolivarian Guard, I believe. Now, whether it really was a skirmish between paramilitary groups and the Venezuelan army, which left 3 soldiers dead a couple of weeks ago, around the 19th of August, around that time, is up for debate. Theoretically, and this is what people are saying on the sidelines, it was the sort of a drug dealing gang, something Sol, Nuevo Sol, and they are in cahoots with the Bolivarian Guard, and there was a disagreement, and probably there was a disagreement about payoffs, and that's what led to the skirmish. Now, this regime is, as we believe, to be backed up by drug money, and Diosdado Cabello, who is the head of, well, basically the second in command in Venezuela, is reportedly and allegedly, one of the region's largest drug traffickers. We don't know. It's not proven. It's not out in the public domain yet. But, it gives cause for thought about what's going on. And while we're thinking about these things and expulsions and migrations, of course, we do need to take a moment. And of course, it's not far from our thoughts at the moment. Is the hundreds upon thousands of migrants leaving the Far East and Africa. Far East, I say Asia, as in Syria. And what a Russia and Iran doing to help this situation? Well, they're backing up the Assad regime. Who do you prefer, the Islamic State or the Assad regime? They're both going to result in a mass migration of people trying to get out and find a better life. So here at Columbia Calling, we say nothing more than we need to open our hearts to these people. Europe, of course, I'm not in Europe, I'm in Colombia, but if we could do something more, surely we would be doing something more, no? I hope so. I don't know what's going to come of it in the next few weeks. I can't predict that. It's not something that I follow as closely as this region, but just the heartbreaking images coming out from that part of the world, coming out of the European Mediterranean basin area, are just, it's a killer, really. So on that, I'm going to sign off for just a few minutes while we have some advertising, and we'll be back with Tara Days and Rafael Santamaria talking about this next adventure in their life, leaving Colombia for the United States. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here in sunny, hot Mompox this week. But of course, we always come back to Mompox because you all know I have vested interests here and family and home, and we've come up, it's been the big unveiling of my little child here in Mompox, showing him off to the town itself, and yes, we've been heralded as family here, which has been absolutely wonderful. But it's 34 degrees, we're upstairs, you can hear the fan in the background, and of course you will hear the ubiquitous motorcycles at some point beeping and screaming past. But I'd like to say we are with two very special guests, and it's a sad moment because they're going to leave Colombia. Now, about 100 episodes ago, we had Tara Days on the show talking about what it was like to study at a Colombian university. So around episode 10, check it out in the iTunes back catalogue, because you'll be able to hear all about what, you know, an English student found to be her experiences in a Colombian university, and indeed a very prestigious Colombian university. And she's accompanied by her husband, Rafael Santamaria. So welcome on the show. Welcome to Colombia Calling.
Thank you, Richard.
You are most welcome. That was very kind of you. It's very kind of you to be here in Mompox, and it's very kind of you to agree to be interviewed. But I just want to say, you know, we're here in Mompox. Has it exceeded your expectations? What do you think about this little town, which we would say is not even the second wave of Colombian tourism destinations, but probably like the third wave? But investment has been made.
By you.
Well, this is true. Investment has been made, but the government has invested a lot. Let's start with that.
You can really notice that, actually.
But what were you hoping to find here on coming to this, let's say, small, forgotten colonial town?
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Bogota, so usually I like to go around the city and, you know, new small towns, like in Boyacá and Cundinamarca. Mm-hmm. So usually for us in Bogotá, the best little town is Barichara, they always, you know. So I was expecting something special, but not as good as Barichara. Mm-hmm. But now being here, I was really surprised, because for me now, it's the best town in Colombia.
Of course. You say that you're in my house. You're my guest.
I'm talking about the town.
No, but very good, very good. Barichara, for those of you who don't know, is up in Santander, continually voted as one of the prettiest towns in the country. But I think it's because most people haven't been to Mompox yet.
Yeah.
It's so different as well. Mm-hmm. So different than anything else I've seen in Colombia. I mean, I haven't seen everything there is to see, but the layout is different. The structure of the houses is a lot bigger than what I'm used to seeing, I think.
Yeah, it's a special town.
Yeah.
It's a special town.
You can see the investment from the government, the painted houses, new roads,
the walkway along the river.
Airport, the river, mm-hmm. and people like to introduce you to the town.
Yeah, I think that's what's special, isn't it? Because you don't feel at any point under any pressure here, you know. Yeah. And the local people are incredibly open and, I would say, naive to tourism. They still treat you like, you know, just another person here.
Yeah, that's the perfect
Yeah. I have had time to think about this. But fantastic. Well, I'm glad. Now you, Tara, you've been here for a little while now. You've been here in Colombia. You said you haven't got to see everywhere, but how many years have you both been here living in Colombia? I know you're Bogotano, Rafa, but coming back as a couple?
We came in, I think, June 2013, so just over 2 years, not 2.5.
Just over 2 years.
Yeah.
Just over 2 years, but it's been good 2 years.
It's definitely been an experience.
Oh, well, that's careful. That's
diplomatic answer.
It was diplomatic, but you know now that I'm going to pressure you on this and say, listen, tell us about your experience here in Colombia. But first of all, is it like, you know, a native of Norwich? That's in England for those of you not unawares. But, you know, not only as an English lady here in Colombia, but as... you know, the better half, let's say, of a Colombian relationship. What is it like culturally coming here as the spouse of a Colombian?
Well, I didn't think of myself as that. Well, obviously, I'm here because of Rafa, but I came here as me, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So I came with sort of expectations. I'm going to start a master's, I'm going to study in university, I'm going to get my friends, learn my place. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, the first thing that really stood out was that it didn't seem like Colombian friendships were going beyond classes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that whole, you know, family are your friends in Colombia thing.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally to that, I don't think if I hadn't have met the expat group,
mm-hmm.
which includes yourself and other...
Yes.
Basically anyone you've ever interviewed.
Yeah. And more.
That's what made the experience for me...
Yeah.
Some really, really amazing expats, and I wasn't initially looking for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as foreigners here, and you know, I was 8 odd years here, and having been all over Latin America, I don't look for expat groups. But it's nice to have that base, isn't it? And it is tough here. Yeah. However, people say, you know, Colombians are wonderful and they're friendly, and they are, and they really are open, and they will let you. It is tough beyond the family you know, like unit. Rafa, what do you... I mean, as a Colombian, how do you feel towards this? I mean, are we insulting you? Or...
No way. Really, when we came back to Colombia, I think with the expat group, I realized, like, the new Colombia for me,
mm-hmm.
I understood some cultural issues, the extreme... nationalism that we have here in Colombia, that we think that being Colombian is support the Colombian football team or support some political parties.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think I think really different from Colombia now.
Well, you come now from an international background. You've spent many years abroad. How long were you overseas, and where were you overseas?
I was out for 3 years.
Yeah.
I started an English course in the UK, in Manchester.
The home of the Beatles.
Sorry?
The home of the Beatles.
Yes.
This is Liverpool, isn't it?
Sorry,
that's all right. I can't ever remember Manchester and Liverpool. Never mind. The home of
Manchester United.
Manchester United.
And a million other amazing musical people.
And Radamel Falcao's ill-fated season at Manchester United. Okay. So you learned when you studied English in Manchester.
After that,
uh-huh.
I did a master's in economics in the US,
yeah.
Colorado.
Yeah.
So in total, I was out for 3 years. Yeah. After that, I came back to Colombia with my wife.
Wow, very, very nice. But it's got to be interesting that taking those 3 years of international experience, which not a great deal of Colombians get, in particular, let's say a city like Manchester, which is, you know, in the UK, kind of off the grid a bit. Not saying that as a Londoner.
Coming from a southerner, yeah.
But not saying that as a Londoner, but for Colombians. I mean, you know, your main destination is London, really. I mean,
yeah.
That's where the people from Medellin go, the people from Cali all live south of the river, etc., etc. And people go on holiday to London. Manchester is seen, you know, as Manchester United or Manchester City. And so that's an interesting choice straight up there. And then you went to Colorado, which, of course... I mean, I know there's a Latino community in every state in the U.S., but it's not, let's say, one of the hubs like Miami or New York or Los Angeles or even Houston, for example.
Yeah.
So interesting thing. So it gives you a far, let's say, broader, you know, pool of interest to come back to Colombia with. Now, was it tough to come back to Colombia?
I mean, in the beginning, I thought it was the best decision. I was so happy to see my family again.
Of course.
And travel around the country again and enjoy the food. And
yeah.
So I wasn't expecting a big shock.
Mm.
But after a few weeks...
Yeah, it was quite soon.
Yes, I felt that really it was a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bogota is not an easy city to live in.
No.
And the
even
traffic.
Even if it's the one you've known all your life.
Even the traffic and security issues, the weather.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah, bureaucracy. Bureaucracy.
Customer service.
Yes. Yeah, these are all wonderful Colombian things. But they exist everywhere, but perhaps in a particular Colombian fashion. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, perhaps they're slightly more irritating here. I don't know. Maybe
I always wonder, is it just that that's what the rest of the world is like, but coming from kind of England-US experience, you expect something different?
It's
and perhaps
curious.
In, you know...
That's something for the listeners to get in touch, you know, and then write...
It could be that Colombia's not special at all, and actually that's, you know...
Yeah.
All the things you complain about are completely normal all over the world. You've just come from a small place with a different expectation.
Perhaps. I'll get some sort of hate mail about this, so we'll see. But it's tough. I think it's tough, because if you come from a place, let's say like Colorado, where the service industry will be probably quite advanced, and then you go to... Because, you know, it's all on have a nice day, how are you doing? Not that they're even asking you it. It's just reflex.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you know.
Yeah.
When someone's trying to attend you in a shop... And they're just doing it from a script.
Mm.
And that's sort of, I think, an issue about globalization as well, that more and more like big companies, wherever they are training their staff into saying the same thing in every city.
But no, I live, they train the people.
Yeah.
Because here in Colombia, sometimes maybe they don't care about clients. And
it depends. So, like a lot of clothes shops... The people, as soon as you go in, they're right on top of you saying, my name is...
Yeah.
I'm here to help you if you need anything, what are you looking for? It's sort of a lottery.
I feel here, let's say, if I go shopping, on the rare occasion I go shopping, because listeners of the show will know it's not my favourite pastime. It's up there with listening to Vallenato. but if I go shopping, here I feel a little bit like I'm under pressure, not only to buy, but I'm also being treated as if I might be stealing something, because they're right on top of me, and then I know they're just trying to be attentive, but shadow me all around.
Yes.
Is it because I don't shave every day?
It's
is
because
it
you're foreign.
Because I'm foreign.
It's the same with us. That's
the same with you, yes.
I think for us it's like a... You have to, you are intimidated.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful in the shops, because you know you are always exposed to any security guard asking you for things. So usually, I mean, if you are careful, you don't try to touch things closely, and just when you go out, show your bag or your pockets just in case.
Staple everything shut before you go
in. I don't
in.
Like that, having to leave my bag somewhere. I don't like
yes.
that. That's something I can't get used to. Even in Panamericana, there's nothing there I want to steal. There's nothing in a stationery shop.
You have
shop.
To show them that's...
That you're willing...
Lock it up in the cube.
You're willing to make it look like you're not stealing.
That's right. Exactly. You have to prove... prove beyond doubt beforehand. that you're not going to steal. Right? Fun there. But in this two odd years, we've got a couple of minutes before this first segment is over. But this 2 odd years, you've been studying and working. You work remotely, and Colombia's been good to you though. Really, I mean, despite this, let's say the growing pains.
I'm sure many people have had different tales to tell. I can't say I've had any really bad experiences here. No,
not at all. And of course, as you said, mentioned, Rafael, it was good for you to come back as well. 3 years away is a long time. And you are the varón in the family. You are the one boy out of the three siblings. You know, there's two sisters and yourself. So your mother must have been very happy.
Yeah. I was the king.
You are the king. And now that you're leaving, I'm sure there will be tears shed on your departure.
There already have been.
Yes, my mom was really sad.
Oh.
But actually, in general, I don't feel sad. Actually, I'm happy leaving the country because, I mean, it's a new opportunity to to start again, and I wasn't comfortable here in Colombia in the end. That's quite sad.
It is quite sad. I think this is something that we need to explore a little bit more, the fact, but just give us a second, we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and explore this, because I think both of you, you know, have things to say about Colombia, but good things and maybe not so good things. But, you know, we all do. We all share things, and that's why the people out there listen to the show, because it's not a fluff show. We're not telling you, I mean, Colombia does have wonderful beaches and it does have jungles and it does have wonderful people and amazing parties and beautiful women and good food and corrientazos and fiestas and ferias. Yeah. But there's also another side to it.
You won't find paradise in the city centre.
No, this is true. This is true. But of course, if you want to get in touch, please, that's at columbiacalling@gmail.com. columbiacallingradio.com is our website. We're on Twitter and Facebook, where you can see us updating all information about Colombia and articles about Colombia of interest to you out there. We're going to take a short break. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, the voice of Colombia, the English voice of Colombia. And we'll be right back to talk further about these cultural nuances for, you know, let's say an Anglo-Colombian relationship now leaving Colombia and going to the United States. We'll be right back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We're here in Mompos, Colombia, so it's a couple of hundred kilometers south of Cartagena along the Magdalena River, and we're here with Tara Days and her husband Rafael Santa Maria. So it's an Anglo-Colombian relationship, the first time we've had a couple together on the show in 110 episodes. Tara was on the show 100 odd episodes ago talking about university and what it's like as an English student to study at a Colombian university, so very exciting, but also very important that we're talking and we're touching on culturally kind of sensitive points here, because just as those Colombians who I receive very kind tweets from and emails from, you know, as far adrift as in Alberta, Canada, or up there somewhere in Miami, or from Europe in Germany and so on, you know, talking about how they miss Colombia so much and they miss their families and the warmth and the feeling, there's also, you know, there are different aspects to this. And, you know, we were just talking to Rafael just now before we went into the break about him being abroad for 3 years, and he started studying English in Manchester, then a master's in Colorado before coming back and working for a big company here in Colombia. You know, he was just mentioning that, you know, it's time to go on, it's time to move on, new challenges, and he didn't feel comfortable anymore in Colombia. Now, I don't think this is a thing about security, and I don't think it's about the political situation. I just think it's a, maybe you reached your academic and workplace limits here, or is it something else? Let's explore this.
That's a good question. No, actually, I think it was just professionally, it was an opportunity in my job. That my company, Ecopetrol, decided to take me out of the country and start to work in Houston. But so I really appreciated the opportunity. So that's like more like a something from heaven than
okay.
But I'm happy living the country in the way that in some point I decided not to watch more news because I was saturated.
Yes, perfect.
Of like that circle of the same news, the same politicians, the same events around politics and sports and everything. So I have now the chance to leave all that kind of things and start again.
Yeah.
I really love my country. I'm not that kind of Colombian that love the Colombian football team or support many the food. I can survive without many things as I already did it. But now I think I need to start again and I understand more things. Actually, really, I think now that I understood Colombia being again here than when I was outside.
I think that's very true, because of course you get to look at Colombia. I mean, you're close up because you have family and friends and history and you were born here, but you're now bringing a different viewpoint in as having lived abroad for 3 years. It's not everyone who can live abroad for 3 years. I mean, Tara, you're now an expert.
But I think just 4 years. Or well, maybe the same 3 years. Yes.
But it's interesting that now, and so let's just move on to Elizabeth. You're moving up to Houston, the two of you. So you're moving up to the oil capital of the United States. That's what it is. Ecopetrol have moved you up to Houston. Yeah. And what will you be doing up there? What will you be doing in Ecopetrol in Houston?
In this moment, nowadays, I work as a business developer for exploration in Ecopetrol.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the same there, but in the capital of...
Capital of everything, of the industry.
Yes, of the industry. So, yes, it's a new start for Ecopetrol again after the oil prices drop, and like we are trying to, for a new strategy, to improve, because in exploration we are really bad. So yes.
I'll come to you, Tara, and ask what you're going to do in Houston, but I want to just, while we're on the topic of the oil like price crash, how do you see Colombia developing, you know, with this economy so heavily based on the sale and export of oil? You, as an expert in this, as a business developer, how do you see our economy here for the next, let's say, couple of years?
I would say the next 2 years, for sure. I mean, the oil prices are really down, so the exchange rate, the Colombian peso is going to be down for a while. We think for 2 years, maybe. So the inflation, I think, is going to be high because Colombia imports a lot of products in dollars, and the government is trying to show that the national tourism is going to improve, maybe, but who knows what happened with inflation and exchange rate, and there are things that who knows what's going to happen.
I always think it's a very risky policy to bank on tourism, because you just never know what the attitude's going to be like, you know. Let's say international tourism, so Colombians traveling within, which we can assume will happen, Colombians getting in their cars with their mother-in-law, grandmother, dog, cousins, mattresses on the roof, and going around the country, and that's fine. But also, of course, they're banking on international tourism to Colombia, and that's why there's this big deal on now with Avianca to come to Colombia, and they're not increasing prices up until September 20th, something like that. So, you know, get online, check out Avianca for that. But I think it's always risky, because it's such a boom or bust industry, tourism, and, you know, it's something I work in, so I always think it's kind of risky. But, I would say that a two-year... dip in Colombia's economic fortunes is quite optimistic. I would think at the moment things are looking they don't look great, but you know, let's hope that something comes up and things pick up. But you'll be in Houston and you know, you'll be under the target of Donald Trump for moving out there, and particularly if you have a baby up there who will make he'll become an anchor baby.
An anchor baby.
So you guys get citizenship through him or whatever, however it works. I can't remember. Yeah, an anchor baby.
Because if a baby's born in the US, they're automatically
US
from there, and then they can apply for our visa.
Yeah, I think so. That's right. But then you're also subject to the IRS, and you don't want to be on that list.
Not particularly.
Along with the Inland Revenue Service there, and then the DIAN in Colombia. Which ones do you want to fight with? Or I don't know. But Tara, what are you going to do in Houston? Are you going to study again? Are you going to work?
I'm lucky because this time I'm going to have a work visa. Because when Rafa was studying, I wasn't allowed to work.
Yeah.
So initially, I think I'm going to work, because if I want to study, first I need to save up, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, once you've spent a while in a state, I think you become eligible for certain discounts.
Oh yeah.
If you come straight in and study as a international, it's different than if you've been living within that area for a while. You kind of get resident prices, I think.
I think how many years would you need to be there to get those?
Not that many.
No.
As far as I know, I haven't looked into it in great detail.
Okay.
Because step one is just
get there,
find gainful employment instead of working from home, which is what I've been doing for the last 4 years.
Yeah, it's nice to meet people at a workplace every now and then.
I do like working from home as well, but certainly what I found is it's not easy to meet new people. It's great working from home if you've been around for a while and you've already got your network set up.
So. And you can work in your pyjamas. You know, there's a lot to be said for working
in
your pyjamas.
And close to the fridge.
And close to the fridge. Yeah. You know,
so. With the cat.
With the cat. See, I work with the dog and in my pyjamas most of the time. So there we go. But I can understand that. I can understand. And yes, I think there is some sort of discount for a longer sort of term residency in a place. And how long is the contract for in Houston?
The offer says that it's going to be for 4 years initially. So after 4 years, they're going to decide what's going to happen after that.
Okay.
Maybe they extend the time there or who knows.
Or they send you elsewhere.
Yeah,
it
depends
on their
business. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I hope that you come back to visit at some point.
Yeah,
cowboy
sure.
boots and cowboy hats, you know. We're like proper Texans.
Yeah, you'll have one here in Mompox.
Like little proper
Texans. The cowboy
Texan.
Of Mompox.
That's right, that's what I want. I want you to come back like cowboys with a Texan drawl.
Yeah. Well, my plan is to get the Southern Belle accent.
It's not so Bell from Texas. You want to move towards Savannah, Georgia, and that area. That's and they love the English
the
there.
Southern not Bell.
they're still fighting the Civil War in Savannah, Georgia. I went there for Christmas once, and they still love the English, which is unusual. You know, we've kind of burnt our bridges almost everywhere, but in Savannah, they're like, oh yeah. You know, they talk about the Yankees up north and everything. I mean, it's amazing. It's
all right. So I'm going to be with my
compatriots. Well, they will, you know, show you their family trees. They will, you know, and they actually, some of them had 12 moustaches.
Well, you know, that's quite up-to-date fashion.
Yeah, well, that's
in many
right.
parts.
Hipsters. It has to always come back to hipsters, isn't it? But fantastic. But listen, so let's go back to that. You've been here a couple of years in Colombia. What have been the biggest challenges for you, let's say, as an Anglo-Colombian couple here in Colombia? Because, you know, you've got different expectations because you're an international couple. I mean, you've lived overseas. I mean, we had Claire Austin on the show some months ago about leaving Colombia because of just the difficulties that she was having living in a hard area of Bogotá.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to make references outside of the interview, but if you go back to and see Leaving Colombia interview Claire Austin, she lived in a very, I would say, I mean, the best way of putting it is a working class neighborhood in Bogota, which is kind of tough.
It's different than what you might expect from a working class area somewhere else, maybe.
In London or somewhere or, you know, elsewhere. It's a tough neighborhood, and she was, you know, the only foreigner in that whole area. So therefore, she stands out. I mean, you guys don't live in that situation, but equally, you know, she shared all of that and her worries about raising her child in Colombia because it would have been in that area as well, you know.
So, well, even in a good area, it's something that I wasn't really interested in. We don't have children and I wasn't planning on starting while in Colombia because it's such a different environment than anything I could really get my head around, I think. Even just the idea of big cities where, like, you've got this baby and you need to get from A to B. It's not always very straightforward. Even if you've got a car, you're not allowed to use it certain hours of the day, every other day. And the distances are long.
But the distances aren't long. It just takes hours to get anywhere.
Yeah. The distances are long in time.
Yeah. Now, you're touching on things which are, of course, very much at the fore of my imagination at the moment, having having a five month baby. And I'm having all sorts of duplicitous thoughts and. It's because it's one of those things. I don't want to go back to the UK at any point. Really, that's the truth. But I'm worried about raising a child in Bogota.
Yes.
And people ask me continually, other expats as well. And it's like, you know, okay, I know that there are very good private schools. First and foremost, I don't have the income to pay for those private schools.
Shocking.
And
how much
they interview the parents.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to get someone on the show who have been, I've got their details, but they were turned down for bringing their kid to one of the private schools because the school didn't think they were appropriate, because they asked questions of the interviewer. You know, how does that work?
Oh, no.
How does that work? And I know that there's also a way of it, the bono, is that what it's called? The bono?
Yeah.
Where you kind of have to pay a gift, a charitable gift, to get yourself on the list. Well, that can't work. mechanic.
But does it go to charity?
No, it doesn't.
No.
All of these private schools are registered as charities, all of these private schools. In the UK as well, they're registered as charities, and they're therefore exempt for various tax issues.
Also, you need recommendation from...
Which I know none of them, probably because I've made
but
enemies with
most
of them.
If you know someone who knows someone,
yeah,
that also works.
Yeah, well,
at least to make you feel like you can apply, not necessarily get in.
Yeah, but it's quite happy. Yeah. You know, I don't know why I, as a parent, should be interviewed. And then at the other time, when they're charging over £1 million in ordinary kindergartens per month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. With the exchange rate, it's more reasonable now. But suggest they're not going to balance
it out. When it was at 3,000, it was like £100 or something a month.
Yeah. And so I find this tough. I find this tough, but at the same time, I find myself wrought between two worlds because, of course, you know, the vast part of my son's family is here in Colombia.
Yeah.
And to take him away from them, the only grandchild, a male grandchild,
it was risky.
That's why, you know, kind of why I said at the beginning, you know, the varón came home.
Yeah.
You know, you were the king. It's just, you know, it's that kind of thing. You know, Colombian families are tight knit, and I don't understand this because I come from a family of four, and now we're number two.
So it's
a tough one. It's a tough one. I mean, I think you've got it easier going up to Houston because you can have your anchor baby there and then raise him as you wish within an environment there without, let's say, all of the meddling. But don't suspect for 1 minute your mother won't come up for a good 50, 60 days.
Well, all I can say is, you know, War of the Mothers.
War of the Mothers.
She's coming, my mum's coming.
There we go. The clash of cultures, Norwich and Bogota. That's never been said.
It's
never been said in a sentence before. Norwich versus Bogota.
Well, what kind of league would that have to
I don't know what
exist in?
It would be a different international, something bizarre out there. But yeah. I don't know. It's curious. I think the issue of raising a child, especially if you're not from Bogota, and especially if you're a foreigner, perhaps not prepared to go through all of this private schooling, this incredibly expensive private schooling, it's a tough one. Because who's going to say a great deal for the public schooling as well?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And because I haven't sort of had that in mind as something I would like to be getting involved with, I've sort of kept fairly shut off to the whole world of schools. I haven't been sort of, oh, that one's over here, that one's over there, this one's got the profile slightly higher than the other, but that's how you need to live if you...
It's true, it's true. So that's one of the issues here in Bogota. But let's say, okay, coming back, you know, I mean, you mentioned bureaucracy. We all know that the bureaucracy is just a wondrous thing here. It amazes. And I have on my list of my pet list of hatreds the cell phone companies and their contracts, lawyers, especially notaria offices, because you have to get everything notarized. The Cámara de Comercio, so that's the Chamber of Commerce. What else have I got on there? Any of you, can you add to that list?
Just going to the bank.
Yeah, the banks. Banks are
banks. Banks, yeah, banks, national entities. For example,
in the UK, if you lose your driving license, you just go onto the website, say, I've lost my driving license, make an online payment, and then it comes to you in the post.
Yeah. What happens here?
Well, I don't know because I haven't lost my driving license, but when I had to get a new cédula, it's just my national ID card, I had to pay. And in the UK as well, it costs sort of, I don't know, a tenth or 20% of the original price, but here it's the full price again with all the original documents from scratch. And you have to go separately to a bank to pay into the bank rather than there. And sort of
you can't pay at Migración Colombia anymore. You can't pay there.
No.
You have
because that would make sense.
Yeah, and it's like they don't as if they don't have any of your details on file. You just start again.
But it's as if because they're treating it as if someone's stolen your identity. Is that right?
But they give you the same number.
Okay, so therefore.
So,
yes. What
so,
we've done enough negative now. I mean, we've got a good portion left. We've got about eight minutes now to talk about why it was so great to be here in Colombia, though, because it is a great country. And, you know, it is a great country, and you know, you might have some misgivings about being here and so on. But in truth, it's a great country to be in. And Rafa, obviously, you mean your first thing is to be close to family, to be close to your roots.
Yeah, but the weather. The weather. Like the fact that you can travel to a cold place in an hour, to a warm place, to the beaches, to the mountains, to the lands. Mm-hmm. And it's really open to of options to go out. Yeah.
And of course, they gave you, you know, this work opportunity, which, you know, is, and you've been here 2 years, you've put in 2 years of hard graft, and you've got an excellent position outside of the country again. So, you know, Colombia is, you know, brindando, it's giving to you.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, there's hard work behind it. Tara, yeah. You're going to have to share some
positive with me. I was going to say, the reason why I was open to coming, even though I had heard beforehand, Bogotá isn't the favourite of many people who've passed through it. Mm-hmm. Was to understand firsthand where Rafa comes from. Because if not, we didn't meet in Colombia, we didn't live together in Colombia in the beginning. It would have just been this land of tales that I could never decide for myself about.
Yeah.
And I think we get the best aspect that even though we're not living in Colombia in the future, we're always still going to be coming back to visit. Mm-hmm. And I think, in the end, for me, Colombia is a really great place more to visit than to live. So we're going to have that for many years to come.
Well, this is good. But would you say that your relationship has strengthened by the two of you being here in Colombia, by you being here and understanding where Rafa is from?
Yes.
Yes.
We're definitely planning to stay together.
Well, yeah, don't announce a divorce on show.
No, but I mean, in general, I think... For me, Rafa isn't like everyone else. You know, he's a special person.
Oh, of course.
And so often when we see it, like how some people are in Colombia, I don't see Rafa as like a typical Colombian, if that makes sense. So it's quite interesting
for me, it was a good opportunity to show her my context.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Why I act in this way, why I'm, I don't know, it's show your personality.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a real importance to that because especially when there's two very different cultures coming together, and you met in a differently a cultural melting pot of Manchester as well, which is you are neither from there and he's neither from there. It's the truth of it. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's very important. I would put a real importance upon it that. You know, you spent some time here. It may not have been all in a bowl of guts, but yeah, you know, spent some time here because when you go away now, you will think fondly of those very positive moments in Colombia as well.
Yeah, sure.
And especially when you think of your poor cat you're leaving behind.
We're not leaving him behind.
You will
you
be.
You know it. I've
got to rise out of you.
Living souvenir.
So your cat's coming up with you to Houston.
That's the idea. Yes.
I'll believe it when I see it. When I see him in a crate going up to Houston, then that's fine, and I won't pressure you or wind you up any further. But please, until then, because your mum is happy with the cat, I think.
But she's gonna well,
get
I don't
a dog.
Know. She'll be a surprise.
Okay. All right. Well, she won't be listening.
Some small animal called Rafa.
Rafa, you're gonna call?
No way.
Rafa the third, because Rafa is already Rafa the second.
Oh wait, your father's Rafa. You're Rafa.
Yes.
And then you're gonna
not my son.
You're not gonna call him after you.
No,
Rafaelito. Very good. And so, but anyway, so the last points here, the last couple of minutes, I mean, it's been a good experience in Colombia. We always come up against these things. We always come up against the bureaucracy. I think if I were living in Guatemala, the bureaucracy would be equally. If I were living in South Africa, the bureaucracy...
Say, it could always be a lot worse. You know? There's, you know, people ask me, what am I going to miss about Colombia? And I'm like, well, you know, avocados are a great price for, you know, giant avocados. There's crepes and waffles.
Yeah, I think it's the little things, you know. I think that's the little things that we appreciate more. Like that, you know, because we don't get... We have bricks of avocados in the UK that you need to keep in a brown paper bag.
We used to practically cry when we were going shopping for food in the US. Like one red pepper costs, like, I don't know, $3.
Oh, I don't.
The quality of the fruit.
Yeah. It's nothing like it when it's been, you know, air packed and vacuum packed and shipped frozen. In a container and frozen fish.
But, you know, sweet potatoes, they don't exist here. I'll be happy to eat plenty of those in Texas.
You'll get plenty of sweet potatoes, and of course, as you're moving up in October, you're going to be there for November and Thanksgiving, which is like sweet potato central. Yes. I mean, that's when they go mad for sweet potatoes.
That's fine by me.
Quite an irreverent chat today, jumping around like Colombia and sweet potatoes. But listen, I wish you all the best in this. It's not a new life. It's
continuation of the same.
A new chapter.
Yes.
A new chapter in this adventure, which is Houston, which will be very interesting, especially in this time of economic woe in the oil markets, because it's fascinating.
It's affecting there as well.
It's a challenge. It's a big challenge.
So, listen, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out here to Montpos. I hope you've
thanks
enjoyed
to you
it.
For the invitation.
No, thank you so much. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
Oh, well, there we go. So hear it out there. Come to Montpos and I might interview you. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. We've been talking to Tara Days and her husband Rafael Santa Maria, who are soon to be leaving Colombia and leaving us here in Montpos and Bogota, of course, and moving up to Houston, Texas, to join much of the Latino diaspora in Texas, I think, because there's... I think you might end up being more Colombian up there than down here.
Vallenato reminds me of Colorado, just because that was the first place where I listened to it continually.
I'm so sorry.
In a friend's car.
I'm so sorry.
It goes perfectly with the landscape up there. It's really,
I like Colorado. Now you're ruining it. Anyway, this has been Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. Please get in touch if you want to hear about the other interviews or recommended people to be interviewed on this show. We love hearing from you all. I've got some very nice emails in the recent weeks. Of course, next week I'll have a read of some of them and read them out online, those which are incredibly positive. Get in touch, ColumbiaCalling@gmail.com. ColumbiaCallingRadio.com, Twitter and Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we're signing off episode 110.